This video is made possible by Morning Brew. Start your day by catching up on the top news in business, finance, and tech in 5 minutes by subscribing with the link down in the description. All right, so this is Canada. We all know that Canadians like to pretend they're further north than Americans are, but they're really not, and I'm going to prove it to you. This is the 49th parallel, the longest border between two countries anywhere in the world, and the one that's most often thought of as being the dividing line between Canada and America. It's true that most Americans do, in fact, live south of this line, but so do most Canadians. In fact, roughly 70% of all Canadians live south of the 49th in this land shaded red. But we can go even lower. A full 50% of all Canadians live south of this line in this relatively tiny area shaded red. This means that most Canadians live further south than pretty much the entire US states of Washington, Montana, North Dakota, and obviously Alaska too. But I'm not done embarrassing Canada just yet. This is the southernmost point of Canada on Middle Island in Lake Erie. Zooming out to view more of the North American continent, would it surprise you if I told you that there are, in fact, more Americans who live north of this island than Canadians? Well, it shouldn't, because there are, and this is how. Here's the line of latitude drawn precisely over Middle Island's southernmost location. Clearly, all of Canada exists above this line, but a surprising amount of the United States does as well, including this tiny sliver of California. If you're from California, you can legitimately claim that some of your state goes further north than Canada's southernmost point does. With the line this far south, though, a lot of America's largest urban areas exist above Canada's southernmost point. Like the entirety of Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, Alaska, and most of Wyoming, Michigan, New York State, and Massachusetts. Added up together, this means that more Americans live north of Canada's southernmost point than Canadians do, which is kind of weird. In fact, approximately 80% of the entire Canadian population lives within just 100 miles of the United States border. But why? Canada is huge. Why do most Canadians live so close to the American border? Well, let's start off with the fact that despite being a continent-sized country that's roughly the same size as all of Europe, Canada's population is small. Europe's population is around 750 million, while the almost equivalently sized Canada has a population of only 38 million. That's less people than live in California, and about the same amount as people who live in Poland. 38 million people can't possibly settle densely across an area of this huge size. And they haven't. Instead, Canada's small population exists in faraway spread out pockets of population like Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, and most significantly, the dense urban and industrialized corridor here between Quebec City in the northeast and Windsor in the southwest. Half of Canada's entire population simply lives within this 700-mile stretch of land that includes Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, and Quebec City. And it's all because of geography and history. As you're probably aware, Canada can get pretty cold. Half of the country is covered by what's called the Canadian Shield, a huge area of exposed rock with only a tiny layer of topsoil where farming is effectively impossible and winter temperatures are severely cold. You just can't have people or civilization without food. So that effectively eliminates most of Canada from ever being able to have many big population centers. Instead, Canada's civilization developed down here away from the Shield and where large-scale farming is actually possible. And it's possible primarily because of these. The Great Lakes. These are the largest collection of freshwater lakes anywhere in the world by surface area that pretty much act in a similar way as an inland sea does, like the Mediterranean or the Baltic. The lakes soak up heat and cool the air down in the summertime, and then they radiate that heat back out slowly throughout the autumn months, preventing the area that surrounds them from getting as cold as the areas that don't. When combined with a frequent influx of warm, moist air coming up from the Gulf of Mexico, this does wonders for warming up the surrounding region's climate. So because of this effect, the Quebec City-Windsor corridor has richer and deeper soil than anywhere else in Canada does, and that means that large-scale agricultural farming operations that can support a large population are possible here and almost nowhere else where it's just too cold and too rocky. The climate is so good here that it's even possible to grow fruit in orchards, and even establish wineries. But the climate and agricultural potential is only half of the reason why this is where most Canadians live. The other reason is geopolitical significance and power projection. This is the St. Lawrence River, and it's one of the most historically significant rivers in all of world history. It contains the world's largest estuary, and for most of the past five centuries, was the only easy way for the Europeans to explore the North American interior. Historically, European ships from the Atlantic could enter into the St. Lawrence and sail down only as far south as the dangerous and impassable Lachine Rapids here, which is conveniently right where the city of Montreal happened to be developed and settled. For hundreds of years, Montreal was the primary port town on the St. Lawrence and the gateway to the North American interior for ships sailing in from the Atlantic. But over the centuries, humanity expanded upon nature's limitations. Eventually, in the early 19th century, the Canadians constructed the Lachine Canal across Montreal Island to bypass those dangerous rapids and, combined with a complex series of other canals and locks, across the other various lakes and canals that culminated with the St. Lawrence Seaway being opened up in 1959, ocean-going vessels could finally and freely travel all the way between the Atlantic and each of the Great Lakes, which established cities like Toronto, Buffalo, Detroit, Chicago, and Duluth as other important trading ports with access to the world's oceans. This is partly why cities like Chicago, in particular, became the epicenter of the American railway system. It's relatively centrally located within the country, and with access to the Great Lakes and the St. Lawrence, goods can be imported and exported from here across the world's oceans. Because of all this, a massive amount of lucrative trade has flown along the St. Lawrence for decades, and all of it has to pass through the ports of Toronto, Montreal, and Quebec City, increasing all of these cities' prominence and leading to them becoming the top destinations for immigrants coming to Canada from abroad. Just look at the historical population data of Toronto and Montreal. In a single century between 1881 and 1986, Toronto's population absolutely exploded from a town of 86,000 people to a metropolis of 2.2 million, while Montreal went from about 150,000 people to 1.7 million in the same time period. That is why currently about 50% of all Canadians live south of this line, and why around 80% of Canadians live within 100 miles of the United States border, the border that's been closed for over a year now and is finally opening back up again next month. In response to COVID-19, Canada shut the entire border down with the United States to non-essential travel back in March 2020, and they're finally opening it back up again on August 9th after 1 year and 5 months. Which is the longest the US-Canada border has been shut down for since the War of 1812, more than two centuries ago. A lot of what's happening today is based on what happened yesterday or last week. As Canada's long border closure with America has finally ended, and as someone with friends in Canada who visited the country often from the States, these events directly impacted my life over the past year. I was literally in Canada in March before the border was closed, and left back to the United States without realizing that it would be nearly a year and a half until I would be able to return again. I wanted to understand why the border closure kept getting extended throughout this past year, and so I began keeping up with the events by reading the frequent short articles that were being posted to Morning Brew every morning. This is why I really love using Morning Brew, because their free daily newsletter gets you up to speed on all the news you need to know in business, finance, and tech in just 5 minutes and in a way that's way more witty, relevant, and informative than traditional news is. For example, while I was writing this script that was inspired by their many articles on the Canada-US border situation, I also got to read about the US's surging inflation rates, the protests going on in Cuba, and Richard Branson's first flight to space. Since you watch Real Life Lore, I know that you like getting a bit smarter and staying better informed. And regular, repeatable patterns of learning are exactly the best way to do that. So go ahead and start your mornings with Morning Brew by subscribing completely for free when you click the button that's on your screen right now or by following the link down in the description. It's one of the best ways that you can help support this channel for free, and you get to stay up to date with current events and be a better informed person at the same time. It's seriously a win-win, and as always, thank you so much for watching. Don't forget to click that button to head over to Morning Brew and subscribe completely for free.